Welcome to this edition of Shanghai Live. I'm He Jian. China's National College Entrance Exam, or Gaokao, started today. A record 11.93 million students across the country have registered for this year's exam, an increase of 1.15 million from 2021. Zhang Yue has the story.
Officials from the National Education Department are able to monitor each examination room around the country in real time on an LED screen. There are 333,000 general examination rooms and 1.02 million proctors and examination personnel nationwide. At 7:25 this morning, students were queuing to enter Hangzhou Xuejun High School for the exam. Any student taking the exam must have an exam admission certificate and meet pandemic management and control protocols, such as valid test results, regular temperature, and green health QR code, before being allowed to enter. All of this information is stored in the system, and they can either have their ID scanned or use the facial recognition system as they enter the test site. In Beijing, a total of 54,000 students took the exam today.
I feel confident. My parents, teachers, and friends have given me lots of encouragement.
Beijing has set up standby test centers along with regular test centers. If a regular test center is closed due to pandemic control measures, the education department will inform the students to switch to one of the standbys. Around 7,000 police officers and support staff have been dispatched in Beijing to ensure that the students can get to their exam rooms in a timely manner.
Police will be distributed in areas surrounding schools to maintain public order and a quiet environment for students, guiding traffic, and help escort completed exam papers to be scored.
Conveniences will be provided to more than 10,000 students with disabilities nationwide, including 8 blind students who will be doing the test using Braille. Shanghai's Gaokao was postponed until July 7th in order to maintain rigid pandemic management and control protocols a little while longer while the city recovers from the previous resurgence. Zhang Yue, Shanghai Life.
As the citywide lockdown has been lifted, bed and breakfast on Chongming Island are reopening. Many have been cleaning and disinfecting their rooms. Sun Ziqi brings us more.
At noon, employees at a B&B in Zhongxing Town are busy packing meals. The hotel has been serving meals to frontline workers since the lockdown started.
We have delivered more than 100 set meals to several communities every day.
We will thoroughly clean and disinfect the hotel before reopening to the public.
Guesthouse owner Ying Liuqiong says she spent 100,000 yuan a month on wages during the lockdown. But she owns the property, so she doesn't have to pay rent. She's now focused on organizing everything for the reopening.
People probably want to go on little trips after staying home for such a long time. Chongming Island is an ideal resort for those who want to take a tour.
Jiang Yingmei has been operating a B&B for 5 years in Xianghua Town. She's also preparing to reopen. During the lockdown, Jiang renovated the rooms and mowed the lawn.
The lockdown was a heavy blow to our revenue, as we had to close. But we have kept improving our facilities.
Chongming B&B Industry Association says more than 90% of bed and breakfasts in the district are renovated from privately owned houses, which means the owners did not suffer during the lockdown as much as they could have if they owed rent.
Our monthly revenue was about 80,000 before the lockdown. We have suffered losses, but some guest houses have a much bigger staff, and their pressure is greater.
But B&B operators who rent have run into trouble. Peng Jian is one of them. He runs 3 B&Bs, all of which he has been renting for the past 2 years.
My monthly expenditure is around 50,000 yuan. That doesn't include wages for 14 employees. Although they didn't have to work, we still need to pay a minimum salary.
Shanghai has announced relief measures to support industries hit hard by the lockdown, including catering, retail, and tourism. But the policies do not apply to private guest house owners. The Cultural and Tourism Authority is considering supportive measures to help.
B&B operators prefer long-term guests instead of short-term ones. More profitable service programs can be rolled out besides accommodation, which can make up for the losses brought by the lockdown.
Visitors can now book accommodation online and check in, provided they have a negative PCR test report taken within 48 hours. 孙思琪、沈恒 live。
Russia's foreign ministry announced personal sanctions on 61 U.S. officials on Monday. Russian President Vladimir Putin has warned that he would strike new targets in Ukraine if Western nations supplied the country with long-range missiles. Stephen Rancourt has more.
The 61 U.S. officials include U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen and Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm. They will be banned from entering Russia. According to an official from the separatist Donetsk People's Republic, Ukrainian forces burned tons of grain stored in the warehouses of the port of Mariupol, a facility whose granaries can store up to 57,000 tons of grain. The European Council president blamed Russia for the looming global food crisis in a speech on Monday, prompting Moscow's UN ambassador to walk out of a Security Council meeting.
And Russia is solely responsible for this food crisis. You may leave the room. Maybe it's easier not to listen to the truth, the ambassador.
Russia's deputy UN ambassador later said that Michel's comments were so rude that Russian ambassador Vasily Nebenzia was forced to leave. During Monday's meeting, China's deputy permanent representative to the United Nations commented against constantly providing weapons to Ukraine or imposing sanctions on Russia.
Constantly providing weapons or imposing sanctions and pressure will not solve the problem, but will only perpetuate and expand the conflict. People in Ukraine and other developing countries should not pay the price for geopolitical and bloc confrontations. International and regional security cannot and should not be guaranteed by strengthening military blocs.
Dai emphasized that China is calling on the concerned parties to put international and regional peace and security first and play a constructive role in the proper resolution of the crisis. Stephen Rancourt, Shanghai Live.